Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to, Mike.
Hello.
Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I'd done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. It's a very
virtual
world.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, and that will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and the links that you need to stream the show. It is Vet Sunday today. Dr. Bill Burlingame is in the house. Phone lines are open for the rest of the show if you've got an animal medical care question. We are in the middle of a phone call right now, but we do have open phone lines for you. And I think, do we still have Missing Link to give away? Yeah, we still have Missing Link to give away, and Dr. Bill and elephants are the words of the day. And you can call and talk to Dr. Bill or to win Missing Link. And the local phone number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 1-888-298-5569. And the Animal World email address, in case you want to send us a picture of your animal's poop. Well, that's already happened once today.
Please, no more poop.
Mike says no more
what, one
poop.
One shot was enough. That was enough for me.
One was enough of poop for Mike. All right. Anyway, the email address is animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right. So we've got on the line from Boston, Gassender's on the line. We're talking about Scoop, her 6-month-old Papillon. They've had for a couple of months, rescued from a kennel, had some kind of coughing, reverse sneezing stuff going on, then a real lethargy type thing, and you race to the vet, and then something about a liver shunt or something. And the first thing I'd like to know, Dr. Bill, is what can you explain to everybody what's a liver shunt?
A liver shunt is an abnormality in the vascular supply going to the liver from the abdominal cavity. And it can get pretty complicated, but you can have vessels that bypass the liver, so things don't get detoxified properly. These bypasses can occur outside the liver or inside the liver or both. So these conditions tend to be progressive in that not only in some of these situations are the waste products not being filtered, but oftentimes the liver is not being supplied the proper nourishment so it can do its job. So some of these animals, in most situations, that liver over a long period of time can just sort of start to slowly, slowly atrophy because it's not getting nourishment. So it's kind of a moving target. Whatever we're doing today for this pup may not be what we're doing next year because it can be progressive. It is something very important to diagnose. You mentioned going to a holistic practitioner. I think that's a good idea. But I would be trying to figure out precisely what we call anomaly or abnormality is going on and make sure it's only just the liver affected. In most situations, I don't know what kind of blood work they did, but young toy breeds, this is not rare at all.
Oh, it is not?
No.
Okay.
And so in most situations, what you're going to do is ultrasound that liver and get a biopsy. Because biopsy and ultrasound are the gold standard to tell you mechanically or structurally what's going on with that liver. I think the approach should be utilize both the naturopathic veterinarian and the traditionalists until you've got a handle on exactly what's going on.
Does that make sense, Cassandra?
Yes, absolutely.
So when you took Scoop into the vet and this liver shunt was diagnosed, first of all, did they do any blood work on him?
They did. They did a basic lab, and everything was normal except the bile.
The bile acid. The bile acid was up, or the bilirubin was up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The bile acid.
The bile acids. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they thought because of that, and then because we noticed that his hind legs were not stable. He was, kind of wobbling back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought that, that the ammonia was beginning to affect them, neurologically.
Yep.
Of course, it is only a preliminary diagnosis because they didn't run additional blood tests, which would have cost us an additional $300 and then a couple of thousand for x-rays, which we didn't have to spend.
Your x-rays are less rewarding than an ultrasound.
So it'd be better to spend money on ultrasound than x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to know.
Give you a lot more information structurally what's going on.
Is there a technical name? Like if I take them, often in the industry they'll use, words like MRI or CT scan or something like that. Do I insist ultrasound, or if they say something, it's the same as an ultrasound?
You need a biopsy, so you do that with an ultrasound.
Okay.
You don't need CTs and MRs and x-rays. You need
an ultrasound.
If they've done the bile acid evaluation and their clinical hunch is a shunt, which in this breed type at this age with these symptoms fits, then where you want to spend your money is getting a piece of that liver and having a skilled ultrasonographer image the liver to see what they see.
And when you're talking about a biopsy, is that kind of like a punch biopsy that when they're the ultrasound, they'd be seeing the liver and then they'd stick something through the skin grab a piece of it?
Right. They do a needle biopsy and they'll probably get something that's about the diameter of a pencil lead diameter. So they do a little... Oftentimes, they'll do a little sedation and a local, and they use the ultrasound to guide the needle to where they want it to go.
So they don't need much. They just need stuff in the needle to get it. And what are they actually able to then officially diagnose a liver shunt that way? What does the biopsy tell them?
The pathologist will look at the vascular structure on a cellular basis of the liver.
And that's from the ultrasound pictures that they're getting.
That's from the biopsy and the ultrasound.
Biopsy. Oh.
Some of these ultrasonographers are fabulous, and they've done so many that they can image that and go, oh, yeah, I know what this biopsy is going to say.
Is the worm an indication?
No, that's just, needs to be wormed. So I'm sure you've had a fecal flotation done for intestinal parasites?
We have, and he had Giardia.
Oh, there you go.
That. He's on metronidazole,
right.
Mm-hmm. And Clavamox now for the liver shunt, to help detoxify.
Right.
But is there something that I need? I mean, should I bring to the doctor about the worm issue now?
I just take a fecal in and tell him you saw a roundworm.
Is that what? I didn't see the picture, so that it looked like a roundworm in the poop.
So you want to look for other types of intestinal parasites, your hookworms and things, coccidia, things like that, although that specimen looked nice and formed, probably not coccidia there. But you want to look for other parasites. You already know we got hookworms, roundworms. They'll address that, but they want to look for other organisms. You know, these little puppies tend to be a little functionally compromised, and so they're fragile little kids, and you don't want anything slowing them down, so you don't want any intestinal parasites going on. And how did they diagnose the Giardia?
Through a fecal sample.
Okay. So
I switched him to a very low protein diet now. It's a combination of dry and soft. That's appropriate. Okay.
A combination of what?
Dry and soft.
Dry and wet food. Okay.
Exactly, and they're both science diet, and they're between 12% and 16%.
Is it LD that you're on, or just one of their regular foods?
It's not LD. Originally it was LD. The doctor gave me LD, but I could only get it through the doctor.
Yeah.
So I switched him to adult 7+ with liver, the soft, and the other one is adult 7+, something like that.
Right.
With the dry, is that?
Yeah. So is that a reasonable diet for this dog to be on at this point?
We need to know more about the dog, but, with liver disease, although I don't like the heavily manufactured foods, I'd probably be leaning towards LD. It's not cheap, but we're only
and LD would I would assume
liver
stands
diet.
For liver diet. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
And it's. I mean, this little guy. What does this critter weigh? 5 pounds.
Yeah, he's 5 pounds.
Yeah,
he's a baby.
So the food relatively is not going to be. That's going to be the least expensive thing you do for this kid.
Right. Okay.
So whatever the proof is in the pet. So if he thrives on the food you've selected, then you may be doing fine. If he doesn't thrive, then you got the wrong food.
Right. Yeah, he's doing amazingly well. I mean, no problem again.
Good.
And the idea was not to get stuck one day where we can't access food,
Right.
But the other thing I wanted to ask was about the gagging. Is that something that needs to be monitored, needs to be diagnosed, or is that just something part of the breed? Okay.
The question is it reverse sneezing or is it acid reflux or gastric reflux?
Would there be saliva coming out if there were reflux?
Not necessarily. It just comes up to the back part of their throat, and then they retch and gag. So with a puppy that's got liver disease, I'd be really suspicious that it's acid reflux or gastric regurg.
How would you figure out the difference?
I'd watch the dog.
I mean, because would the if it's the acid reflux type thing,
they
would that happen at different times than the reverse sneeze would?
You know,
or?
It's all sporadic, which is interesting. That's why actually nowadays I have people say, I'll have them say, would you just get out your smartphone and video it for me so I can watch it? Because the symptoms overlap a lot because the clearing mechanism is the same. As I always explain to my clients, dogs can't spit. We never think about that.
Well, that's true.
But dogs have.
I've never
seen
Robbie go out and go spitooey.
No, they don't. They can't. So their clearing mechanism in the back of their throat is a little more primitive than ours. We can just kind of clear our throat and get rid of it. But they will a little acid reflux. They just have a little fluid come up in the back of their throat and they retch and they gag, but nothing comes out. So. The reverse sneezing is more of an inhaling But sometimes at the end of that, they retch and gag. So really, right. You got to watch it to see what they're doing.
Okay, so that's really good. I'm glad we explored that, because that means then you guys get out your phones, and when he does this, you video on your phone, and so you have that in your phone. So when you're going, if you go to the natural, you know, the holistic vet or back to your traditional vets, that you can show him this little film clip of him doing it. And you could even do, you know, film it a couple or three times, you know, depending on how often does he do it, Cassandra?
He does it pretty much every day.
Yeah, you just videotape it a few times and I'm dating myself saying videotape it, but record it.
Record it on
take
your
it
phone.
To your holistic practitioner or your regular vet, and just let them watch a few of them, and they'll tell you what it is.
Well, and I can imagine that you might, if you go to a holistic vet as well as your traditional vet, I can imagine that there might be a little conflict in there in terms of recommendations, either or, especially in the food department. But
that was my idea, that was the idea in my mind about going there, was to hopefully maybe get some more pure food, you know.
And I'll just tell you from my lay perspective, I am the first to say I think Science Diet products, the quality of the ingredients is just crappy. But I'm also realize that they are formulated very well for what they're formulated to address, and they do work.
And it depends upon the severity of this pet's problem. So that's where you need to really find out, do we just have a mild problem or do we have a major thing? Because all shunts are different. And we also don't know, the other thing they're going to do with this pet is they're going to image the rest of his abdominal organs. And in particular, you want to image the kidneys and see what they're doing. Because when you have one anomaly, there can be others.
Right. So that would be, and that is something that you'd talk to your traditional vet. You want to find out what it would cost for the ultrasound and needle biopsy of the liver, because then you know you can save your money for that.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Fun.
And then I know, right? Oh my gosh, it's terrible. It sounds so serious, but.
And then you take a stool specimen in and tell your vet that Scoop actually pooped out a roundworm.
Right.
So they should be able to see eggs in the stool in the fecal exam.
Usually.
Okay.
But at any rate, any more questions for Dr. Bill?
I actually wanted to throw out the question about training him.
Yeah.
He's not marking. We were going to talk about that, but should I call you?
Well, actually, because I didn't know what I was going to do next week on the show, because I wanted to feature the elephant stuff again. But my guest is only available for the last half of the show. So I'm going to do the first half of next week's going to be a behavior training and healing Sunday with open phone lines for behavior training calls. So why don't you call back first thing next week? And we'll talk about house training, okay?
Thank you both.
Oh, but let me, while you're still on the phone, and when it comes to house training, we're a six-month-old Papillon with a probable liver shunt and stuff. Dr. Bill, was there anything involved in that physical stuff that would interfere with house training in terms of confinement, supervision, teaching him to hold and all that kind of stuff?
Sometimes those little dogs have a higher volume of urine production.
Okay.
They may not be processing their food normally, although that fecal mass looked pretty normal. So I would just, you know, wonder what he's doing as far as urinations. So it may be a little higher volume, so you may have a challenge. I don't know if he's having a problem holding his urine or not.
No, he's actually not. It's really interesting. He was marking, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've been crating him, he's
good.
Not at all. He's
okay,
just,
good.
We're finding, like, he's holding it. Now we're having the opposite problem where he's holding it in for so long. We're like, oh, my God, he hasn't peed in, like, 8 hours. I'm like, oh, my God.
Right. He'll be all right then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good. So call me back next week, first part of the show, and we'll talk all about house training, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling Animal World. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors now for the first time in this hour. Phone lines are open, 425-425. 373-5527. Toll free, 888-298-5569. We still have Missing Link to give away. If you would like some, please call. And Dr. Bill is here for the rest of the show, and we're happy to do your animal medical care questions. We'll get back to my list of stuff if we don't have any phone calls when we return, but we are going to take care of advertisers and sponsors, most important part of the show. Listen, pay attention, support them, thank them, because without them, there's no us. So stay right where you are. Vet Sunday continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking, why they do certain things, or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, animal intuitive medium and Reiki master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at darcypariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132. Have you heard about energy balancing for animals? Elite master of the bioenergetic synchronization technique, Nels Rasmussen, has been creating transformations in health, mobility, and athletic performance in dogs, cats, and horses for over 30 years. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats, and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? Running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
Hey, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and I want to thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And again, we heard about Peggy Kaler and Westar Pacific Mortgage. Make sure that you call our girl, or our gal Peggy. She supports the animals and cowgirl spirit, and she's just a delight to deal with. She's helped me with all my mortgage stuff. She can help you too, and you'll find a link for Peggy Kaler on the homepage of MarthaNorwalk.com. Also one for NuPro supplements, and of course, if you'd like, we've also got Dr. Nels Rasmussen, NelsHealingMinistry.com, and our wonderful animal communicator, Darcy Pariso, who was in the studio last week with us. Boy, she's great. And you want to take advantage of her great value now because she's got one question for her for $15. So that's great. So you don't have to do a full reading if there's just one question about, you know, one or two quick questions about your animal friends that you need to know and don't want to do a full reading. She'll answer via email, and you can arrange that through her website at DarcyPariso.com. There's a link to her on the Animal World website as well. Now, a little follow-up to the first hour when we started the show, Mike was talking about the weather blog that he was getting a lot of information from, and he says the most knowledgeable weather guy he knows. Here's the actual address to get that blog. It's Cliff Mass, so CLIFFMASS dot blogspot.com. So cliffmass.blogspot.com is the weather blog that Mike likes so much. Okay, we have got open phone lines through the rest of the show. If you've got animal medical care questions, we're still waiting for some of our callers from last week that had medical care issues that we needed Dr. Bill's opinion on. So I hope you will pick up the phone and call local. And we also are still looking for somebody who wants some missing link for your dog, for your cat, for your rabbit, for your guinea pigs, for your birds. And you just have to be 18 or older and can't have won a contest here on this radio station, any show, KKNW, in the last 30 days. Local number, 425-373-5527. Toll free, 1-888-298-5569. All righty then. Let's see. I want to go back to Dr. Bill. This was very interesting. You sent me yesterday an email link to a documentary movie called Bought, B-O-U-G-H-T.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about an hour and a half little film about vaccines, about GMOs, about Big Pharma, and man, oh man, it's very well done. I felt right away when you sent it to me yesterday that I should watch it. So I did watch it. And the reason watching it is timely at this moment is because today is the last day you can watch this film for free online. After that, you have to purchase the DVD, which would be well worth purchasing. I was really amazed. And not that I wasn't aware of a lot of this information beforehand, but seeing it all put together and the dots connected, so to speak, and some of the statistics that they came up with, I'm going to change some of my eating habits and get more serious than I have been, especially about the GMO stuff. And it was quite interesting. Also, you know, we've talked a lot about vaccines with animals and so forth. I don't know if there's the same huge problem going on with animal vaccines as there is with human vaccines. But and I know, Dr. Bill, you haven't had a chance to watch the whole film, but you said you watched part of it. I don't know if you. One of the things that was amazing to me was they're talking about the difference in the number of vaccines that are recommended for children now as compared to like when you and I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something ridiculously high, like something like 60 some vaccines, mm-hmm, given to young children within the first few years of life. That was amazing to me. But the question that came to me to mind right away for me had to do with the GMO, you know, genetically manipulated stuff in our food supply. And they had a graph showing a lot of chronic disease and illness with humans and where it was prior to 1996, which they say was the introduction of GMOs into the food supply. And on this graph, all of these conditions, health conditions for humans, were kind of like stable, you know, and static. And they were all, you know, this flat line going along. And then 1996 happens and the line of GMOs gradually goes up, all of these diseases go up with the GMOs. It was really amazing. And the one thing that they, one of the things that they stressed was that with the introduction of all the GMO stuff in our human foods, the increase of diabetes in humans has substantially increased. So the question that came up for me, because it reminded me of the book Give Your Dog a Bone, the Australian veterinarian who wrote about raw food for our animal friends. And
Ian Billinghurst.
Ian Billinghurst, yeah. And what he said about when he was a young guy going to vet school in Australia, and their veterinary books were skinny as opposed to the United States where you have big fat and tons of books. And he was able to correlate that with the food because they were not, for many years, processed food like dry kibble food for dogs was not introduced into Australia. Australians were still feeding their animals, their dogs, table scraps and leftovers from what they ate. And he saw a direct correlation with when the dry food, processed foods, started being brought into the country and people started feeding that, that lo and behold, their animals started getting all these chronic disease and illnesses that they hadn't had a problem with, and their veterinary books got bigger and bigger and bigger. So it reminded me of that situation. So what my question is, Dr. Bill, because you've been in practice for a number of years, I'm wondering if since, say, around the 1996 time frame and forward, have you noticed the increase in diabetes in our dogs and cats over this period? Do you think there's more of it now than there used to be? Because you got to, you know, most people feed grocery store or, you know, lower quality processed dry food to their animals, and they've got to be loaded with GMOs.
I don't think that I could recognize an increase in just diabetes.
Okay.
I think that, I think there's a big increase in allergies, and maybe a different species might respond a little bit differently. Allergies are, you know.
Well, and that was mentioned in related to humans and the GMO stuff.
So, but no, I don't think diabetes in particular.
A lot of the other things that were mentioned, some of the other things that were mentioned were the fact that, one of the things that they showed that was really, really impressive, what related to the Roundup Ready crops and so forth, that and the diagrams describing that these crops grow up being ready. You can drown them in Roundup and nothing happens to them, but everything else around them dies, all the insects, the worms, and the good bacteria and all of that. And then they say, of course, that the crops that are produced that are Roundup ready, that stuff is in them. It goes into our systems. They're saying in this documentary that those crops now then destroy our natural bacteria, so we get a lot more of the inflammatory bowels and the bowel stuff and a lot of allergy stuff. And there were a number of cases of, you know, children or families that saw all these problems and then adjusted their diet and what they were eating, and of course the allergies and a lot of problems went away.
Well, it's all about gut health. There's no question there. It would be interesting to, you know, track the incidence of irritable bowel syndrome or celiac disease in humans in the last 20 to 30 years. And of course, some diseases, the incidence appears to increase just because we have an increased awareness. And of course, with the advent of the internet, things are easier to document. There's more communication between centers of health, if you want to call it, where, yeah, they've been recognizing this, but they didn't have a method to share it with everybody else other than the slow process of medical journals, which can take years. So is disease in incidence increasing, or is it just awareness increasing? I don't know.
Yeah, I know you and I have talked about this before and other subjects, but that have these things been there all the time? We just didn't know to look for them, or we didn't diagnose it, and maybe we've been missing a lot of stuff, or did they not exist?
Right.
And then, but if we go back to that, you know, Dr. Billinghurst and his book and his stories, in his mind, it's pretty clear, and it's the incidence of the processed food and what a difference that made, you know, to the animals in Australia. That's a pretty dramatic example of that kind of thing. But
well, there's no question we see some unbelievable disasters in young dogs. It just doesn't make sense. So how much of that is the nutrition and how much of that is just poor genetics or combination thereof? I mean, there's just some really sick dogs, and I don't think it should be that way.
Yeah, it was quite interesting in this documentary that they had, you know, a number of whistleblowers, speaking on why and what and all this kind of stuff. But something that I think we've known, but the examples were so dramatic of some of there are like four major drug companies that make all the vaccines and that produce most of the drugs and so forth. And then the whistleblowers that were part of this saying that, you know, they all had started out working for these companies and were part of the management and scrutinizing what was going on. And of course they're doing their studies to prove the efficacy of the drugs they're creating. And one example was really dramatic, and it had to do with and these are all, you know, human drugs, of course. One of them was Paxil, you know, one of those. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of the psychotropic drugs for so forth. And in they were doing a study to prove, you know, all the wonderful things that Paxil does and how it helps, you know, people that needed psychological help of some kind. And when they got done with the study, it didn't turn out that way. There were some positive effects of the drug, but there were so many patients that then, you know, had the wanting to commit suicide and all of that sort of thing, that it was very dramatic, and that the negative side outweighed the positive side for this particular drug. And so one of the guys interviewed, I believe it was a man that was interviewed in this documentary, was saying that he was actually told that the study wasn't turning out the way they wanted it to turn out, and it wasn't saying what they wanted to. So he was instructed to remove all the data from the study that had anything to do with the suicide stuff and the negative stuff, and to only include the positive stuff, and that's what was published in the major medical journals. And as far as I know, that drug is still on the market. And so anyway, there's lots and lots of that stuff in this movie. It's really worth watching.
I'll have to get it finished.
Yeah, you got today. So if you're listening and you want to find it, the movie is called Bought, BOUGHT. One of the headlines in this email is, "You've Been Bought, the Activist Film of the Year about GMOs and Vaccines." I think if you just Google that, here we go. Here's an email address.
Just do Bought the Movie and you'll find it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it looks like www.botmovie.com.
Yeah, there you go.
/free-viewing is there. So botmovie.com will get you to the website, and it's free to watch through today. It will still be available, but you pay for the DVD after today. So if you want to see it, it was quite dramatic, and I'm motivated to, because I've been one of the ones that, you know, doesn't always want to spend the extra money for the organic stuff. I'm changing my attitude. Which I've needed to do for a while anyway. So, okay then, we are going to actually stay on time here and take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. And so stay right where you are. It's the most important part of the show. Listen, pay attention, support them, thank them, and come Stay right with us because Animal World continues Vet Sunday with Dr. Bill Burlingame straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuTro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Margaret Peggy Kaler, branch manager at Westar Pacific Mortgage, shares your passion for animals, supporting animal rescue in the community. A charter member of Rotary Club of Duval and past president of the Duval Chamber of Commerce, Peggy shares your values and volunteers at the Cowgirl Spirit Rescue. Call Peggy at 206-947-0615 or visit PeggyKaler.com for your next mortgage. NMLS number 393352. Westar Pacific Mortgage. NMLS 1100211 and WA-CL number 1100211. WBA Westar Mortgage Corporation. NMLS 93243. An equal opportunity lender.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Three ways to listen. On the AM dial at 1150, on the FM HD dial at 98.9 HD3, or online at 1150kknw.com. One great station. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here until noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And it is Vet Sunday. Dr. Bill Burlingame is in the house, and we are going back to the phones. And from Seattle, welcome, Linda. Good morning, Linda. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Bill Burlingame.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And let's see, I think, didn't we and Darcy talk to you last week?
Yes, about Cleopatra, my cat.
And Cleopatra is your kitty.
Yes.
And about 10 years old?
Yeah.
And I know we wanted you to talk to Dr. Bill, so tell Dr. Bill what's going on with her.
Well, she's a very beautiful cat, and she loves to be petted a lot.
Oh, and I think you haven't, didn't you just recently get her?
Yeah, about 9 months ago.
Okay.
And she's having a little, I think, digestive issue, but she has loose stools, sometimes even diarrhea in her box.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm just concerned about that.
And didn't you say, what was she eating when you got her?
Well, she was eating dry food because she has, like, few teeth. She has, like, a couple teeth in the front and like three teeth in the back.
So she doesn't have a lot of teeth.
No, she doesn't have a lot of teeth at all.
But she was on dry food when you got her, and then but you changed her to something different?
Well, now I've changed her to wet and dry food.
Okay, but did she have the loose stools and diarrhea when you got her, or is that something that happened after?
No, it's been with her all along.
All along, okay.
All along, yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Bill, where do you want to start with this one?
Morning, Linda. It's a good thing you called. We can see if we can help your kitty.
Thank you.
So, and again, how old are we?
She's about 9 years old.
9 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you had her?
For about like 9 months.
Okay.
She was given to me from a friend who's had her for about maybe 2 years, and she got her from a rescue place.
Okay, so, two different approaches. She really, should be examined at some point by a veterinarian and have a fecal sample evaluation looking for different types of infectious agents that could live in the intestinal tract. We don't know what her background is a whole lot, so could be anything going on as far as different organisms in the intestinal tract.
Have you done anything like that, mm-hmm. Linda? Has she been to a vet?
No.
Okay.
Does she have a great appetite?
Yeah.
She runs and plays and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So we have an otherwise healthy pet,
it
appears. So one thing is you should have her looked at and have them do a little microscopic exam, or there's different diagnostic tests you can do on the fecal material. But the other side of it is it's all about nutrition and gut health, and the simple test is to try to switch her over to what we would consider to be a non-allergenic food. You need to read the ingredients panels on the top, I always say the top 10 ingredients on your pet foods, be it dry or canned.
That's what I'm trying to do, but...
Yeah. So if you can't understand it, you probably shouldn't feed it,
Right, okay.
So, essentially, you want to get a single protein food, and, the big trend is to get rid of the grains.
Okay, right.
So, but you want to go to a single protein food, and with kitties like this, I tend to go to venison, duck, or rabbit as a test.
Mm-hmm. Okay, venison.
So, simplify the diet.
Venison, duck, or rabbit, she said.
Which is easy to find at the high-quality pet stores. Some of the Petco chains, Pet Pros and things like that, they'll have some good foods. And that's something you can start doing soon.
Okay.
Normally with a mature animal, I'll take a couple weeks to slowly transition the foods over and then find out if it helps. But that's a test that you can do at home and the price is right.
Yes, you got to feed them anyway.
Got to feed them anyways. And then after the food change, then... We think about getting some fiber into the diet, and there's lots of different ways of doing that, but also some probiotic therapy and a good online probiotic that you can purchase would be at the Mercola.com site, Mercola.com. Dr. Karen Becker's got a really good probiotic there. Or your local pet store may have something, but I haven't seen one that's better than Dr. Becker's.
Okay, can you spell that again?
Mercola, Mercola.com.
Okay. Would be the website to go to.
That's the website. It's a human website, but if you go to their Healthy Pets link, probably at the top of the page somewhere, you'll get to their animal products eventually, and you want their probiotic blend for pets. That's a really smart thing to do. It's very economical to do in one bottle. As long as you keep it refrigerated, it will last you a long time.
Okay.
So those are the two.
Is it like a powder?
It's a powder, yeah. It's a non-allergenic powder you mix with a food. And that's a real smart thing to do for any older animal that's having bowel issues, because your health really is based on the type of bugs you got in your gut, for lack of a better term.
That was really stressed in that bot movie.
Yes.
That your old immune system is pretty much in your gut.
70 to 80% of your immune cells live in your gut.
Right.
And they produce a lot of essential nutrients for our body. And they also, it's interesting, they produce a lot of the neurotransmitters that we need.
Mm.
And a large percentage of your nerves or your cells of the central nervous system also lives in the gut. So it's the happening place.
Yeah.
Being the gut. So
the first step for Linda would be to food. Mm-hmm. And now we want a single protein. And for cats, your first choices are venison, duck, or rabbit.
Yes.
Okay.
And no grains.
Mm-hmm.
And are you talking dry or canned
or both? I would do both right now.
Okay.
You know, then later on you can get
because that's what
in.
She's used to?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Later on you can expand it and you can, if you're so inclined, if that helps her, then, you know, some of the frozen raw foods gives you a lot of nutrients you're not going to get in a manufactured food. But you got to take baby steps, in my opinion.
Okay.
Well, a lot of cats, you know, that have been raised on processed food won't eat raw
food.
They don't
know what it is.
They don't. And then sometimes they'll take to it and sometimes they won't,
right.
You know, so it's kind of a grabbing. So that first step is the food, the single protein,
mm-hmm.
quality food,
okay.
dry and canned to start with because that's what she's used to, and
right.
adding the probiotics.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's where we start and we see what happens then. And how, if Linda makes this change for Cleopatra, how soon would you expect to see a difference?
You would want to see in 2 or 3 weeks some improvement with the consistency of her fecal mass. And again, don't wait too long on getting evaluated by your veterinarian to see is there any infectious agents, or you can get an overgrowth of unhealthy bacteria because your healthy bacteria is not what it should be. So that's where.
Yeah, and I forgot that as part of the step. So one, we've got the food as one step and probiotic as another step. But the other step is to have a fecal exam run by your
right.
vet to mm-hmm. see. Because, I mean, cats, like we talked with the dog previously that had Giardia and had a roundworm, get all that stuff too,
right.
don't they?
And it's not just looking at the fecal mass for worms.
Uh-huh.
It's looking at it for different microorganisms that should be there or shouldn't be there.
Right.
And you've been through that, Martha, years ago with your
yeah.
kitties. So
yeah.
They can have chronic subclinical infections of different protozoans and different bacteria that aren't friendly, and that can be addressed. And sometimes those have to be diagnosed off of fresh fecal mass. Very often I'll just slip a cotton tip applicator up the rectum and do a direct smear and look at it under the microscope right away. There's much more advanced testing, doing ELISA testing, which is in-house work. And you can also there's some DNA screens you can do for different organisms. So you can do from very simple to very complicated, but start with simple.
Simple?
All right.
Okay. Because, I don't have a lot of money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Start simple. And in an
right.
otherwise healthy patient, now, if you told me that she was not feeling well, not eating well, then we would be, stressing the veterinary exam much quicker.
Right.
But that's not the situation we're in.
Right.
So it would be because she seems to be so well in all other aspects, Linda could start with the food and the probiotic
yes.
thing and see where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But if that doesn't solve the problem, we got to check that poop sooner or later, right?
Got to do a poop check.
Okay.
And probiotics instead of prebiotics?
Prebiotics are essentially nutrients that support probiotics. Probiotics
okay.
are beneficial bacteria.
Okay.
Prebiotics are little nutrients that the bugs live on.
Oh. Okay.
And some products have both in them,
yes.
don't they?
Yes.
You mentioned just the probiotics, but is that because that's what's most important? Or?
Yeah. Normally it's, just simple carbohydrates, plant materials, a lot of things serve as food for bacteria.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Anything else you'd like to know about Linda?
I just don't know of a good vet here.
What area of Seattle are you in?
Northeast Seattle.
You got any vet buddies down there in Northeast Seattle?
Not right off the bat. Sorry.
Dr. Bill's up in Marysville, so you could make the trip up there. you know, he's at Quilceta Veterinary Hospital in Marysville on Mondays and Tuesdays. I would, have you got friends that have animals?
Yeah.
Ask your friends where they go and who they like.
Okay.
I mean, word of mouth is a great way to find good stuff.
Right.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling Animal World.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to go and at least get started on our next call. We're going to Port Orchard and Maureen. Maureen, welcome back to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Bill Burlingame.
Hi. Dr. Bill, I have emailed you a couple of times about your immune tab for the dog. The vet down here did a VARL. We took some blood and did
okay, well,
ARL
wait just
test.
A second. We're talking about your dog, Benjamin, right?
Yes.
And what kind of dog is Benjamin?
Oh, he's a Jack Russell.
Okay, so he's a Jack Russell.
And he's white pretty much all over. He has very little other coloring.
And about 5 years old?
Yes, he's 5.
And a neutered male?
Yes.
Okay, and what's going on with him?
Oh, allergies. Oh, my God. He has very pink skin, very delicate.
Now, have you had him all his life?
No, I got him when he was 2 as a rescue.
Okay, 2 years old and a rescue, and that's right. Apparently, he's got lots of allergies.
Yeah. And I had emailed, when I heard him on the show, Dr. Bill, about his immune tab.
Uh-huh.
And so he sent me what was in the immune tabs, and I sent them to my vet. And my vet said she wanted to do a blood test to see exactly what he was allergic to. So we did that, and the test results came back. And it's very high in velvet grass. And I knew he was allergic to grass. I knew that. And I have an enormous lawn. And I think he's allergic to some mold spores. But she wants me to give him the injection to start to hypersensitize him. It's kind of expensive.
Oh, that's right. And what are the symptoms that Benjamin has?
He just gets an incredibly bad, his stomach, because that's what you can see clearly if you look through the skin, red, and he gets welts, and if he chews enough, he'll get open sores. And
Did they do a food allergy screen?
Yes, and we've tried him on various foods. There's no change because all winter long, he doesn't have any allergies. Okay. But the minute the grass grows and I do the first cutting of grass, there are his allergies.
There you go. And have you done like antihistamine therapy at all?
Well, we've tried. He works. She named an over the counter antihistamine, and I can't remember. All I can remember is Zyrtec, and it is not Zyrtec,
right.
So I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been giving him, if I can pronounce it correctly, chlorpheniramine malate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I can give him, I guess, 2 a day, or 2 half tabs.
Is that an antihistamine?
Yeah, it's an antihistamine.
Yeah, and then she named another one, and then we give him Benadryl when it gets really bad. And then I got these little swab-like things that are antibacterial, antifungal, and I rub them on his tummy and his feet, and they work really well.
Oh, good.
And usually it's a battle all summer long, and as soon as we get let's say, end of September, when the grass blows down, allergies all go away.
Good.
Huh.
And
well, that's certainly real specific, isn't it?
Yes. So I really don't want to give these shots to him. It's kind of expensive, and
well,
I didn't know.
There's other. First of all,
let's do a timeout here because we're up against the clock here. So, Maureen, I'm going to have you hold on that we can close out this hour, fire up the next hour. So stay right where you are, everybody. Vet Sunday continues, and we're going to get educated about these allergies and allergy shots and all that good stuff. Animal World continues. We're here until noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.